Welcome to the Dog Talk Show. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM Radio. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. We are back after a little hiatus. We had the University of Washington softball team in our place last week, and they won, I hear. So,
go Dogs!
Go Dogs! I'm so excited for our guest today. We are with Kat Albrecht, the founder of Missing Pet Partnership. She's a former police detective turned pet detective, and we're going to talk to her about her experience and her organization in just a few minutes. Have a couple of little mentions today before we get going with the interview. First of all, I wanted to dedicate this show to Walter. Walter was about 10-year-old Great Dane who just a couple of days ago passed away. His owner, really very sweet woman named Megan, adopted Walter as an older Great Dane. I think she adopted him when he was about 8 or 9. So very, very generous thing to do for someone to adopt an older dog, especially such a large breed, Great Dane. And I had the privilege of knowing Walter in his last couple of years, and he was just a really, really sweet, really special dog. And he had a really great life with Megan his last couple of years. And just wanted to send her my warm thoughts and wishes today, because I know that she's missing him. I also wanted to let people know, I recently met with the, veterinarian and owner of Ancient Arts Veterinary Acupuncture, which is in Seattle in Fremont neighborhood on Leary. And, she does, acupuncture for animals, which is a really great, either alternative or, sort of complementary form to help with animals who have all sorts of different types of issues. And I got to meet with her. We had really great conversation. I look forward to having her on the show soon to give us some information about health and well-being with a bit of an alternative approach to more mainstream medicine ideals. And her website is www.ancientartsvet.com. Her name is Dr. Darla Ruers, and the phone number is 206-547-1025. So check that out if you've got especially, you know, an older dog with joint pain or just any sort of pain. Dog recovering from surgery, et cetera. Acupuncture is a great way to help make them more comfortable and even help them heal. And I know for myself and for other humans, wonderful acupuncturist is Robert Meduzia. He's got the Acupuncture and Sports Clinic of Kirkland. And I've had some great experiences with him. For myself, highly recommend him. His number is 425-828-6190. 425-828-6190. And, it sure is a northwest spring today. And, along with spring comes, ducklings. So I'd like to talk a second, and it is dog related, but I've been seeing my first ducklings since our last show, which is always a thrill for me. Ducklings are, I think, arguably one of the cutest baby animals out there. They're just insanely cute. I almost can't even stand it when I see them, especially when they're really tiny.
You just go quackers?
I do go quackers. Oh, man, they're so cute. So why I'm talking about ducklings on the Dog Talk Show is to just remind people to be conscientious, of course, to please obey the leash laws out there. I was at one of my favorite stomping grounds with my dogs
Maybe you
last
should call
week.
Them carefully stepping grounds.
Stepping grounds,
carefully
yes.
stepping grounds.
Yes.
Rather than stomping grounds.
No, yes, carefully. With my dogs, we were going for our walk, and we came across somebody who had their dog off-leash, which is a bit of a pet peeve of mine in a non-off-leash area. And the dog fortunately didn't really bother us, but went plunging into a pond in this non-off-leash dog area. And there's sort of a couple ponds along the way, along the trail. And the pond before that, there was a group of brand new baby ducklings. And so I had passed the people, I remembered the ducklings, and I sort of yelled back to them, kind of a heads up, not to let their dog go plunging into the water after those little babies. So I just wanted to, you know, mention that and just ask people to really be respectful of their environment and to keep their dogs on leash in areas that are not off-leash dog areas. For the love of ducklings.
And next week we'll be launching the Duck Talk Show, apparently.
We already have the Cow Talk Show from April Fool's. So we're going to be on here with Kat in just a minute. Next week, tune in. We've got Dr. Jessica Stone, author of Doggy on Deck. She writes all about sailing with her dog and the life that she has led with her dog, who I think for about 15 years she had her dog on her boat sailing all around the world. And it's pretty much everything you need to know about cruising with Fido. So we've got her on next week's show. We'll be giving away some signed books next week, same time, same place. This week, we've got Kat Albrecht, founder of Missing Pet Partnership, and we have some signed books of hers that we're giving away on today's show to callers. So if you have any questions for Kat as we talk to her today, please feel free to call in anytime. We would love to hear from you and give you a free copy of her book. We have a couple books to give away, and then for other callers, we have a new dog treat from Oberto Company, which is called Bit of Love. It's a human grade dog treat, great for training, soft. You can rip little pieces apart, smells like beef jerky. So we've got some of those treats to give away for people who call in as well. So the number to call in is 425-373-5527. That's 425-373-5527 or toll free in Western Washington, 888-298. KKNW. So we're going to bring Kat Albrecht on now. So, hi, Kat. You there?
Hi, I'm here.
Hello. Welcome to the Dog Talk Show.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. First Kat on the show, by
yeah,
the way.
Yeah, I know, huh? you get that all the time, I bet, huh?
Absolutely. You know, it's a nickname since junior high. My best friend's name was also Kathy, so we went by Kat and Kat, and I had no clue I was going to become a pet detective one day.
Yep. So, We've got a couple copies of The Lost Pet Chronicles to give away today to callers, which I read it kept me good company on my plane ride to St. Louis over Easter, and I really, really enjoyed the read. I just loved learning more about you, and I loved the stories kind of along the way of the experiences that you had with your dogs. And I just really loved how you wrote about your dogs and how you live with your dogs and what they mean to you. And it was just a really great read. So we're going to have some happy callers in today who are going to receive some copies, signed copies of those
Super.
Books.
Yep.
So why don't you just tell us a little bit about your background and your story as far as, you know, how you kind of founded Missing Pet Partnership and where you came from.
Yeah. Well, I've always had a love for law enforcement, so I was a police officer and bloodhound handler and had trained a Weimaraner to be a cadaver dog and was just delighted in my career. This was back in 1996. and in Santa Cruz, California, when one day my bloodhound AJ escaped from my yard and was lost in the woods. Mm-hmm. And suddenly I panicked. And the interesting thing is I didn't think of going down to print up lost dog posters or didn't think of going down to my shelter. You know, my dog was lost in the woods, and AJ was a dog that I had used to track down several people, criminals. He had earned, at that time, he had already earned a National Life-Saving Award for tracking down a man that was suicidal. So I knew I needed to find my dog and that the best shot was using another search dog. It was actually a golden retriever named Kea that I had helped to train to track people. And I didn't know if Kea would understand, you know, I knew she understood, smell this pillowcase and follow the scent trail of this missing person, but I didn't know if she would understand, smell this bedding and find my missing bloodhound. Mm-hmm. But she did. She tracked him down in 20 minutes and found him, and that's what then gave me the idea to, you know, train dogs to find lost pets. It was like, you know, I know we have drug detection dogs, bomb detection, termite detection dogs. Why don't we have cat detection dogs? Why aren't we going out and physically searching for lost pets?
Mm-hmm.
So I began that quest and formed a national nonprofit organization, and it's been a 12-year struggle and still is today.
Mm. And you are now local.
Yes. We decided back in 2007 that we needed to relocate the organization. At that time, I was living with family in Fresno, California. The weather there is very hot and dry. It's not philanthropic and it's not animal-oriented. So we and I have loved the Pacific Northwest. I love rainy days like today.
Mm-hmm.
And I just felt that Seattle was a perfect place to relocate, and so that's what I did. We moved up here, and then the economy tanked.
Yeah. It sounds like you have some folks in the background that want to be on the show, too.
Yes. Doesn't that always happen? So, yes, the organization is run out of my house. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, until we get the funding and volunteers and everything that we need, it's, you know, it's going to continue to be a struggle in this economy. But I've been committed for this for 12 years and don't have any intention of stopping.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to take a break. And then when we come back, we're going to talk more about your programs and how people can get involved. We'll be back in just a minute. You're listening to the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.
Get your dog to smile with treats good enough for people, but especially made for dogs. Introducing Bit of Love, the treat that's made in the USA with USDA-inspected meat. Without any artificial flavors, colors, or byproducts, it's guaranteed to make them smile. So, the next time your four-legged family member comes a-walking through the doggy door after a hard day of chasing birds and digging holes, put a big smile on their face with some slow-roasted, mouth-watering Bit of Love dog treats. And don't forget to stop by bitoflove.com to learn more about our variety of flavors.
Armadillo Consignment is Seattle's only consignment store that uses an automatic markdown system. The longer it stays, the less you pay. Stocking only ready-to-use, value-priced, moderate-to-high-end furniture, clothing, and housewares, Armadillo Consignment has over 3,500 items in the store. Located in Seattle's Broadview neighborhood on the corner of 125th and Greenwood, Armadillo Consignment has great deals on quality, gently used items. Visit armadilloconsignment.com for more information. Armadillo Consignment, the longer it stays, the less you pay.
I'm Joy Turner, host of Talk With Your Animals, the show that lets you talk with your animals Wednesdays from noon to 1 p.m. We take your calls and ask your animal companions the things you most want to know from them. Talk about anything, even talk with deceased animals. If you love your animals and want to hear the wonderful and very often surprising things animals say, be sure to listen to Talk With Your Animals Wednesdays at noon, the show both you and your pets are going to love. Talk With Your Animals with me, Joy Turner.
The Barking Lounge is Seattle's premier dog daycare and overnight boarding facility. With 24-hour supervision dedicated to the health and well-being of your pooch, it's no wonder why the Barking Lounge was voted best doggy daycare in Western Washington. New customers can mention this ad and receive a free temperament test and day of play care, a $44 value. Offer available for a limited time, valid for new customers only, and has no cash value.
Write it down, shout it loud. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. Now, wasn't that fun?
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk 1150 AM. And we are here with Kat Albrecht of Missing Pet Partnership. Welcome back, Kat.
Thank you.
So just a reminder to listeners, we're giving away a couple copies of Kat's book called The Lost Pet Chronicles, Adventures of a Canine Cop Turned Pet Detective. And it's Kat's story of her journey from canine cop to founding her organization, Missing Pet Partnership. And it has some really great stories about all of the dogs that she has worked with and trained and their accomplishments along the way. So give us a call if you have any questions for Kat or if you'd like to receive that book. We're giving away, like I said, a couple free copies autographed by Kat. The number to call is 425-373-5527, 425-373-5527, or toll free in Western Washington, 888-298-5569. So, Kat, you had mentioned that there, you know, your needs and the organization's needs and also all of the programs that you offer and how people can get involved in different levels. So what are some of those ways and some of those programs that you offer?
Well, you know, we've been working since I moved here last April at training a group of dogs to track lost pets. We actually have now two cat detection dogs. I just had to retire my cat detection dog because of she's just having some health issues and just is too old now. But we have two up-and-coming cat detection dogs locally here, one that's based in Bothell and the other one that's based here in Federal Way. And we have four additional dogs that are being trained to track the scent trail of lost dogs. Now, training a cat detection dog, it's actually a pretty quick process. It takes about 3 to 4 months. But training a dog to track the scent trail of lost dogs can take like 18 months to 2 years.
Mm.
And we need volunteers who can help us to train these dogs simply by coming and what's called laying a scent trail, which means that you would walk your dog. By walking your dog is depositing its scent, and then we bring our dogs that are in their advanced training out, and they would track your dog down and find it. And we would, we'd work with you to help set those trails up. So it might mean that you would walk your dog and lay a scent trail on a Saturday or Sunday, and then when we gather for trainings, and we train every Tuesday evening at 7 p.m., we would then work the dogs. So we need to be working these dogs on scent trails that are, you know, 1 to 4 days old before we can actually launch that part of our services, which would be tracking the scent of lost dogs.
Mm-hmm.
So unfortunately, our goal was to try to have those dogs ready by this summer, but it's just the rate of that we've been going with at our training, it's just taking a lot longer.
Mm-hmm.
So we need volunteers that can help with that. We need volunteers that want to be trained in how to counsel people. We do a lot of work with handing out free posters to people that have lost a dog or cat and giving them instructions on how to use different types of equipment that they can use, especially in a physical search for a missing cat. And we just need to train, you know, people that can do that. That would be trained to be volunteer pet detectives. Also, those that want to become certified missing animal response technicians or certified pet detectives, that involves more intense training, but then you can be trained to go out on a physical search with our search dogs and look for lost pets.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. So, and we also need help with fundraising and, you know, development. So anybody with, you know, nonprofit development or business development skills we just have needs as any other nonprofit has needs to, you know, further develop our organization.
Mm-hmm. And so you have a sort of lots of different levels that people can participate, whether it's like you said, just showing up with a family pet, you know, a family dog to just lay down their scent, which is just essentially walking them around. Now, where do you do these? Where would that be for people if they wanted to do that? Where would they expect to go?
We are rotating the training locations right now on our website. We just have a couple of the dog training locations listed. The first one coming up at next Tuesday will be in Kent at the Kent Senior Center. And then the following two Tuesday evenings will be in Tukwila, at the Bicentennial Park. But we're going to be also in June starting to add trainings in Des Moines and Burien. So, you know, everything right now is south of Seattle, you know, in between Seattle and where I'm based in Federal Way. I found that the majority of our volunteers are from the Federal Way area right now, although we do have volunteers that are up in Everett and in Bothell. And interestingly enough, though, we don't have any volunteers from Seattle. And, you know, we have made an effort last year by doing some booth events, especially we were at Magnuson Park at the drawing a blank on the name of the fundraiser.
Pause Walk, I think?
Yes. Yeah, we were at Pause Walk last year and had a booth there and, you know, really had hope that we would be able to recruit some volunteers from there. But I think, you know, I'm guessing here, but potentially because our actual training volunteer meetings are held in Kent, that maybe it's too far for people to drive. And, you know, we can't really change that right now because we're pretty much based where we're based. So we're looking to draw from people that are either, you know, either willing to travel. I figure if I have a husband and wife who have been very committed to coming to training on a weekly basis that drive from Everett, we're looking for people that are committed and want to and can invest the time and the ability to train where we're training right now. Once we get larger and have more volunteers, we potentially can start a Seattle area team, but we don't have enough people to support that right now and don't have everything that we need in place in order to be able to expand. So at this time, it's pretty much if you want to become involved, then our website, which is missingpetpartnership.org. If you go there, you'll see the space needle on the home page. You can click on there and then find more information on our schedule and where we're at.
And are you forming a Seattle Pet Hunters, or is that something that's sort of hopefully coming down the road?
That's actually just the term that we're using for our local team is Seattle Pet Hunters.
Okay.
You know, the term pet hunter, as we put on the website there, is just an indication that, we want people to conduct aggressive physical searches for their missing pets because, for the most part, when people lose a dog or cat, they'll put up a 8.5 by 11 piece of paper, you know, a flyer, and passively wait for someone to call them when some of the techniques that we use are we create these giant fluorescent reward lost dog posters that will have people go and do what we call an intersection alert, which is basically protesting the missing dog at a major intersection to make a big spectacle, but it's major marketing and it's getting the information out that a dog is lost in that area, and we've recovered several missing dogs by using this method.
And that was something I've learned so much since I met you about that type of information, that it doesn't always, certainly does not always involve, you know, your services actually showing up with one of your scent tracking dogs, but you, how much support you give people and coaching that you give people in what the most effective marketing techniques are in and how important that is, and also understanding the differences in behaviors between, like, if it's a cat, was it an indoor cat or an outdoor cat? Because they'll behave differently if they are lost.
Right. Yeah, and I think that's one of the major differences between our website and a lot of other websites that give tips on lost pets is that, you know, we understand that dogs and cats are apples and oranges, and they behave differently when lost. Just like in missing people, you can have a backpacker, a berry picker, or a deer hunter lost in the same area of woods, but the tactics, techniques, and resources that you look for them are entirely different because they behave differently, they travel different distances when lost, and we found that the same is true for missing dogs versus indoor-only cats that escape outside versus outdoor cats that suddenly vanish and disappear. They're entirely different types of ways that we search for them.
Yeah, and that's where your background as a police officer and doing the detective work there really comes in, as far as the detail and what you know to look for and the behaviors of the subject.
Yeah, you know, and actually that doesn't come from police work. That comes from my experience and years of training in search and rescue, in the science of finding missing people. I never learned that when I was a street cop or an investigator. I learned that when I was a volunteer for two different search and rescue, county search and rescue teams, and I was trained in what's called search management, which meant that I understood and had the training in the analysis of lost person behaviors. And early on, this is back in 1998, I remember going to a search for an Alzheimer's woman and thinking, okay, I know how lost people behave and how the typical distances that Alzheimer's patients walk, but how far would a Chihuahua travel compared to a dog the size of a Great Dane? You know, is it the size that dictates, you know, the length of the legs that dictate how fast or how far a dog will go? So, you know, that really was the beginnings of when I started studying lost pet behavior, and a lot of that information is on our website that talks about that.
So do Chihuahuas travel further or shorter distances?
No, Chihuahuas travel a shorter distance because they're quickly picked up by people who see them and see them as being vulnerable and a recognizable breed, versus a mixed breed dog will be allowed to travel 7 times farther because it's not perceived as being highly valuable. Golden Retrievers and Labs, a very friendly breed, and dogs that have wiggly butt temperaments that will go up to the first person that calls them, will be found much quicker than a skittish dog or a dog that growls at people and runs. Those dogs are at risk of being hit by a car, and they travel farther distances.
All right. Well, let's take a break here, and we'll be back in just a few minutes with Kat Albrecht of Missing Pet Partnership. You are listening to The Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.
And if you want to call in with a question, we'd love to hear from you at 425-373-5527 or toll-free in Western Washington at 888-298-KKNW. That's 888-298-5569. And we've got a copy of the book for you if you call in.
Are you suffering from neck pain, back pain, headaches, numbness, and tingling? At Favreau Chiropractic, you have the opportunity to experience healthcare's leading form of spinal rehabilitation that has been proven to relieve pain and permanently realign your spine. Located in Seattle's Madison Valley neighborhood, Favreau Chiropractic offers a comprehensive service that goes far beyond cracking your back. Visit www.favchiro.com or call 206-726-9595. That's FAVCHIRO.com. A different approach to chiropractic.
When was the last time you caught your dog eating a stalk of wheat or corn? Evolved as carnivores, your dog is designed for protein in the form of fresh meat, not the grains that fill conventional pet foods. Bursting with fresh, free-run chicken and turkey, wild-caught fish, local fruits, vegetables, and botanicals, Origin mirrors the foods nature intended your dog to eat. Family-owned and operated since 1985, the Origin mission is clear. Biologically appropriate foods from fresh, never-frozen, regional ingredients. Origin Pet Foods, the diet nature intended.
Do you have legal questions? Need to know where to turn?
Hi, this is Rick Gregrick, your host of Northwest Legal Compass.
Northwest Legal Compass will address your questions on a variety of legal topics, including estate planning, asset protection, real estate and business planning, and more. The legal and accounting staff of Gregrick & Associates are dedicated to providing you with superior legal and tax services. Their integrated counsel is geared to the achievement of your goals.
Visit us on the web at rjglegal.com.
Be sure and tune in every Tuesday and Thursday, 3 to 4 p.m.
Commune with the Pop Oracle on the Radio 8 Ball Show. I'm Andras Jones, the host of the Radio 8 Ball Show, where we answer your questions by picking songs at random and interpreting them as the answers, like picking musical tarot cards. That's the Radio 8 Ball Show on Alternative Talk, 1150 a.m.
Don't miss the Radio 8 Ball Show, Fridays at noon, right here on Alternative Talk, 1150.
Camley Electric Incorporated is a full-service electrical contractor. From simple home repairs to full remodels, new construction, and small commercial projects, our qualified electricians do it all. We pride ourselves on our workmanship and professional standards, delivered with value in mind. Located in historic Ballard, Camley Electric serves the greater Seattle metropolitan area.
licensed, bonded, and insured. Kemmley Electric welcomes all inquiries about your electrical needs. Visit the website KemmleyElectric.com. That's K-E-M-L-Y Electric.com.
1150KKNW.com, your connection to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM, and we are here with Kat Albrecht, founder of Missing Pet Partnership. Hi, Kat.
Hi there.
So, there's so much information here, and I know that we're not going to be able to get to it in just this small hour, but I really want people to, maybe we can talk about some stories that you've had, but I just can't stress enough how important your organization is to the general pet owning public, because I can't imagine, if one of my dogs ran away and were gone out there somewhere, how I would feel knowing that they were out there somewhere, you know, are they hurt? Were they picked up? Are they being held somewhere, or are they just out there wandering around? And how important it is for people to know what to do and what the most effective ways are for them to look, because it really is a matter of life and death, or of being reunited with your pet or not. And I know in our conversations you've said that a lot of stray dogs, or dogs or animals that are sort of labeled as stray, when we think stray, we think sort of nameless and homeless. And in fact, a lot of dogs that are picked up as stray are actually lost.
Exactly. You know, we have a page on our website called Think Lost, Not Stray. You know, that just emphasizes the point that just because you see a dog that's trotting loose, you know, in your area or in a rural area, does not mean that it was abandoned or dumped. Mm-hmm. I would venture to say most of the quote-unquote stray dogs that are in shelters are dogs that are owned by somebody, mm-hmm. and they just simply escape from their care. You know, these are not dogs that were born in the wild and are feral. Mm-hmm. They're not living in packs. Not saying that there aren't dogs born feral and not dogs running in packs, but for the most part, most of the ones picked up are domesticated dogs that were being fed by someone. Mm-hmm. That means they're lost. But yet we give them the term, you know, the moment that your companion animal escapes from your care, it's no longer your baby, it's no longer your pet, it's called a stray. And we treat them differently. You could even say we discriminate against them. We do what I call rush to rehome rather than slowing down and trying to reunite. Mm-hmm. Animal control will pick it up, capture what I call capture and contain. And it's dependent upon you to be able to get to the shelter in time to find your animal. And yet in the course that we give, the seminars that we present, I talk about the different reasons why people fail to show up at animal shelters. And it just, when I talk to shelter workers, it just kind of blows them away, because there are things that they never would have thought of, you know, that the person is elderly, they're physically disabled, they were out of town. I talked to one woman in Puyallup who had been looking for her missing cat for 2 weeks. She had consulted with an animal communicator who had told her that her cat was in a field, so she was focusing her search in these fields, you know, forested area and fields near her home. And when I asked her if she had been to the shelter, she said no, and I said, why not? I said, somebody could have set a humane trap and taken your cat to the shelter. And she said, oh my gosh, that happened to me once. She said years ago it was with a different cat. Her cat vanished, and she went to the shelter, and the cat was there in one of the cages, and she found out the neighbor had set a trap. So here was a woman who had had that happen to her, and yet it didn't even cross her mind, because she was locked into tunnel vision and so convinced that she knew what had happened to her cat, so she never went to the shelter.
Mm-hmm.
So you just never know why people don't show up there, or why these strays, I just called it a stray, why these lost dogs aren't being claimed in time. Sometimes it's a case that the dog has been wandering for a couple weeks, and the owner has given up.
Mm-hmm.
And dealing with people that are quickly losing hope, the behavior called grief avoidance, which we've learned a lot about, that a lot of people just want closure, or they just believe somebody else has found their animal and that they won't get it back, and they stop or can't go to the shelter anymore. There's just many reasons. So there's just so much room to develop these services, and oftentimes what we're doing is just encouraging people, giving them the right tools, the right information, and the encouragement to help them keep searching.
Mm-hmm. And the sort of third-party perspective, too, because I would imagine, you know, it's just got to be so draining for people emotionally to know every day and to keep looking and to keep looking and to keep looking and
yeah,
to...
You know, when you change their mindset, mm-hmm. when you... And I'll give you an example. We, the first week of January, we were filmed by a Canadian production company for a TV show called TV Made Me Do It. And they came out and they filmed us working two different investigations. One was a cat in... that the family who lived in Maple Valley, they took their cat to the Costco in Tukwila. This is when we had all that snow.
Mm-hmm.
And their cat, Tank, freaked out because the husband was holding him in the arms and treating Tank like a dog.
Mm-hmm.
And he freaked out and took off and was missing in that parking lot, and they couldn't find him. The other cat was a cat that was from Shelton, but the gal was dating a guy that lived in Seattle near Green Lake,
mm-hmm.
and she took her cat Pumpkin up there to visit him, and then after being there for a couple days decided, well, Pumpkin's an outdoor kitty, so she wants to go outside, I'll let her outside. Well, she didn't realize what she was doing was displacing her cat into an unfamiliar territory, and Pumpkin bolted and was not seen again. So this company filmed us searching for both these cats, and when we go out, we use cat detection dogs, amplified listening devices, 2 million power candlelights. We'll set up baited humane traps. We'll use digital wildlife cameras that will snap photographs when we put food out so we can see what animals have eaten the food during the night. You know, we use high-tech gear and analysis of physical evidence. We worked both of these cases, but the 3 days that they were filming, they didn't find the cats. But we continued to encourage these people.
Mm-hmm.
And in the case of Tank, it took them 37 days, but a security guard at Costco spotted the cat at 2:30 in the morning. They called the family. The family was down there every day looking for Tank. But it took 37 days to get Tank back home. And with Pumpkin, it took 54 days. But it was one of our fluorescent posters that we had given them and the baited humane trap that we had loaned to them and instructed them that if they get a sighting of an orange cat that someone says looks like it's feral, because that's how Pumpkin was behaving, and they followed our directions. Somebody called 54 days later, saw a feral orange cat about 3 blocks away. They set the humane trap, and they had Pumpkin back in 20 minutes.
Wow.
So it's just encouraging, giving them the right information, and you know, that's what we plan to do around the 5th, 6th, and 7th of July this year is, help people with animals that are panicked by fireworks. That's one of the things we plan to do.
And that's, you know, the timing of that, and for really to just tell people and remind people that generally not a dog-friendly place to, you know, take the dogs to Gasworks Park to watch the fireworks on the 4th of July, because so many animals get freaked out by that and then bolt. And is it the highest incidence of missing pets probably around that time of year? Is that right?
Oh, it's horrendous. It just is absolutely the worst time. You know, and even it can even be a case not where you've taken your dog to watch fireworks. It can be that you've adopted a new dog and you don't realize that it has such, you know, it's so phobic because of fireworks. And that your dog, I've had dogs break out glass windows or through a screen door, or that have chewed out of a fence or scrambled over a fence when they're not normally a fence jumper. You know, it's just so many ways that they can get away, and it's just really hard. Now, last year, we set up a booth at the Kent Animal Shelter and just offered free advice and free posters to people that came in. We helped over 40 families, and of those, 14 people recovered their missing dogs by using the posters that we loaned to them and the instructions we gave them on how to use them. And so we know, you know, that getting a lost dog back can be difficult, but at the same time, there's a lot of techniques that they can be using besides 8.5 by 11 pieces of paper.
Right. And you have five words, 5 seconds, 55 miles an hour.
Yeah, it's on our website under recovery tips. It's called 5 + 5 + 55. It means that you use 5 words that people can read in 5 seconds if they're going 55 miles per hour. And it's based on the fact, I mean, I did some read information about sign legibility studies that have been done through the National Sign Council on the size of signs, letter, you know, the size of lettering, color, you know, the fact that using a fluorescent color is much better than using a pastel or even, you know, white, and then also the knowledge of what's called inattentional blindness, where the hypothesis is there is no perception without attention, mm-hmm. meaning if you don't see or notice something, it's as if it is not even there. So 8.5 by 11 pieces of paper are not going to be noticed by people driving by. And you need to capture the attention of every driver, because every driver, or there may be one or two witnesses out there who know who has your dog, and if you're not getting the information out to them when they're driving by, you're losing your opportunity to get your dog back.
Mm-hmm. And since I've met you as well, I've been noticing that as I've been walking or driving along, when I see those little white 8.5 by 11 or 8 by 10, flyers up on telephone poles out facing the street with a little, you know, dark, often photocopied picture of, you know, a cat or dog. And the only word that you can read, if anything, is just missing or reward. And it's not doing anything as far as, you know, advertising that particular animal. So, you know, when you were talking about the 5 words, you know, how much more effective a big, bright sign that just has 5 words, lost Dalmatian, red collar, you know, something like that. So then it's like, oh, I think I saw that dog, you know, earlier today. And
you don't even need to pull over to read it, because mm-hmm. you're able to read reward lost dog yellow lab, reward lost dog white poodle, reward lost dog tiny tan terrier, or if it's a mixed breed, you know, you discover 2 to 3 words that will describe it. And then that gives you a visual picture. But we do that in like 100 size font in text, and then right next to that blow up in an 8.5 by 11, a photograph of the animal. So it's very clear when you see these posters, and you can see them on our examples on our website,
mm-hmm.
very clear what it is that's missing and what it looks like.
Right.
And again, it captures the eye, you know, because of the color and the size of the signs. And if it, and some communities have sign ordinances that you can't post these, so that's where we have volunteers go and stand, or we'll have the owner go and stand at an intersection, the major artery intersection near their home where the dog escaped that people would use to commute to work.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that's last year at 4th of July. We helped get 14 dogs back home because of that technique.
Mm. Okay, well, we're going to take a break, and we'll be back in just a few minutes with Kat Albrecht of Missing Pet Partnership. You're listening to The Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.
Camley Electric Incorporated is a full-service electrical contractor. From simple home repairs to full remodels, new construction, and small commercial projects, our qualified electricians do it all. We pride ourselves on our workmanship and professional standards, delivered with value in mind. Located in historic Ballard, Camley Electric serves the greater Seattle metropolitan area, licensed, bonded, and insured. Camley Electric welcomes all inquiries about your electrical needs. Visit the website KemleyElectric.com. That's KemlyElectric.com.
Urban Beast. Fresh, modern, fun. Seattle's destination for all your pet needs. Located in the South Lake Union neighborhood at 217 Yale Avenue North, directly across from the REI flagship store. Urban Beast features unique accessories such as toys, beds, collars, leashes, and more. They have a great assortment of healthy food and yummy treats for the pets you love. Open 7 days a week and offering free parking in the Alley 24 garage. Come see what the beast is all about.
Hi, I'm Vicky St. Clair. I want to invite you to join me every Monday at noon for Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. We'll talk with innovative business leaders, medical and health professionals, authors, filmmakers, adventurers, and ordinary people leading extraordinary lives. Join me Mondays at noon for Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair.
May 11th on Conversations Live, it's the ever-popular Dr. Bernie Siegel discussing his latest works, Faith, Hope, and Healing.
Check out our guest schedule at conversationslive.net and join me Mondays at noon.
Do you want to improve your health, take less medicine, or avoid medication at all? The naturopathic physicians at the Institute of Complementary Medicine, with over 60 years of experience, will help you on natural, practical solutions for better health. Ready for your annual checkup, feeling stressed or anxious, or have a chronic problem like allergies, diabetes, or sleep issues? Call 206-726-0034 or go to www.icmedicine.com to schedule an appointment. We're located on First Hill in Seattle, and most insurance is accepted. 206-726-0034. icmedicine.com. Natural medicine at its best.
Remember, you're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. You're listening to Alternative Talk 1150 AM, and we're here with Kat Albrecht, founder of Missing Pet Partnership. Let's see. So we're going to hear some stories from Kat. But just to remind you, listeners, we are giving away free copies of Kat's book. It's an excellent book, The Lost Pet Chronicles, Adventures of a Canine Cop Turned Pet Detective. So if you'd like a free copy, free signed copy by Kat, give us a call and we'll get one out to you, 425-373-5527, or toll free in Western Washington, 888-298-5569. So Kat, tell us one of your favorite recovery stories with one of your dogs.
That would probably be the search that I used my bloodhound Chase on for a missing Airedale named George. And this was a case where George was missing from a farmhouse. This was down in Salinas, California. And he had been missing for 2 days. The owner of George was actually away skiing, but her boyfriend was the one who called me and hired me. He didn't want to call his girlfriend to tell her that George was missing. So he really needed to find George. And he didn't know which direction. He had driven all over out in, you know, in the rural area there looking for George, couldn't find him. There was a lot of orchards and things out there. And so I went out there. I actually used both of my dogs. I used Rachel on this case. Rachel was my Weimaraner. I used her first on the search, and she picked up a scent trail but then lost it in this orchard area. And then I brought out my bloodhound Chase and used her on it, and she worked a similar track but different, and then worked it much farther and really helped to establish the direction of travel, and then ultimately lost it, lost the scent out in this orchard. And I'm not sure whether, you know, we must have missed a turn, but at the time I just wasn't sure, you know, where to restart, and so we pretty much ended our work there. But told Bob was the name of the man that hired me, and told Bob, you know, which direction he needed to search for George. So I went back, loaded my dogs. By the time I got back to my cabin in Santa Cruz, Bob had called and said that he had found George. Mm-hmm. And George was the direction that we had headed, which was south. And Bob just drove south to the first street that he could turn right on. He turned right and then looked to the left, and there was George sitting out in the field. He had been hit by a car and was holding up his leg. He was dehydrated. He had been out there for 2 days, and his leg was shattered, and they had to do surgery. Well, when I went to write the Lost Pet Chronicles, that was the story I wanted to include. So I talked to Bob, and by this time it had been like six or seven years later, and Bob had told me that George had been an agility champion. It was just so cool to hear that the dog, you know, that not only have we saved this dog's life, but that he went on to be an agility champion. Well, just last year, I went to spread Chase's ashes. I chose that scent trail to spread her ashes along. And while we were doing that, I saw Bob's house, and I thought, and his name was still on the mailbox, and I thought, I can't believe he still lives there. I wonder if he does. And so I went and knocked on the door, and not only did I get to see Bob again, but I got to meet George.
Hmm.
And, you know, he was like a 14-year-old dog now, but it was just very, very rewarding.
Mm-hmm. That's great. That's a definitely seems like a good place to spread the ashes and the, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But on the lighter side of my pet detective work,
mm-hmm.
I've been asked to use my bloodhounds to track skunk ape, which is a form of a Bigfoot in Florida. I've been asked to bring our high-tech equipment out for a woman in Puyallup who wanted to find out how rats were getting into her garage.
Mm.
But, you know, we're helping dogs and cats and other companion animals, but not we're not rat detectives.
Yeah.
And then one person found some poop on their front lawn and wanted to know if my dogs could backtrack and find out what neighbor dog was pooping on her lawn. It's like, no, we're pet detectives, not poop detectives.
That is funny. Now, do you think that they could if you were, you know, if you were going to use your resources for something like that? Do you think they actually could?
Well, we would never want a dog to back trail a scent. We train them when we teach them how to pick up the correct direction of travel. So I would never want a dog to work a reverse scent trail, because it goes against, anytime I come out and intersect a scent trail, I want them to pick up the correct direction of travel. That's why it takes 18 months to 2 years to train a dog properly how to do this work. And unfortunately, there are some people in the country that have marked themselves as having trained dogs that aren't taking the proper time that is needed to properly train a dog. But the dogs that we plan to use, and we won't use them here in Seattle until they are properly trained and certified, we know that they will have a high chance of making actual recoveries because of the training that they receive.
So they can actually distinguish what direction a scent,
like, yeah.
If, gosh.
You would be, when you learn and understand the dynamics of what a dog is capable of doing with their, I mean, they live in a different world than we do, and I describe a lot of that in the Lost Pet Chronicles, is the scent discrimination. If dogs and wolves weren't able to follow scent trails in the correct direction of travel, they probably would have been,
hungry.
Yeah, very hungry, because they would never have been able to follow the animals that they're trying to hunt down and eat.
Wow. Yeah, I think that's, I've you know, sort of over the years learned a little bit about this dog's sense of smell and how they essentially see with their noses. I mean, it is their primary sense, correct?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And in how they detect scent and how they can distinguish and interpret and process scent is beyond our comprehension, really?
Yes. You have to figure if a dog can detect the scent of a termite or a cancer cell, that it's far beyond. Their noses are like, they smell colors like we see color. It's just, it's a different world, you know. And once you once they understand what it is you want them to do, and that they're going to get a yummy treat at the end, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Now they must love, especially the dogs. Now I'm sure that some dogs are more inclined than others as far as the intensity of that sense for them or their drive to do that?
Yeah, and there's certain things that we look for, and I authored a book called Dog Detectives, Train Your Dogs to Find Lost Pets, that really goes into, you know, what we look for in the dogs that are trained in this industry.
Mm-hmm. So we just have a couple minutes left, Kat, and I know you're doing a seminar soon in Seattle.
Yeah, actually, it's going to be, and we posted this on our Seattle Pet Hunters page, that's on missingpetpartnership.org. It'll be at UCLA, which is University Canine Learning Academy, that's on Blakely Street in Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
It's near the university. And it's going to be a three-hour seminar on Saturday, June 27th, on lost dog recovery.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be free to the public. If you make a minimum donation of $25 to Missing Pet Partnership, then you can get an autographed, a free autographed copy of my book.
Mm-hmm.
But this is really designed for shelter workers, vet techs, dog trainers, anybody, pet sitters, anybody in the dog industry, or anybody that wants to learn more about how to be prepared for 4th of July fireworks, how to recover lost dogs and prevent them from becoming lost, and just learning a lot of new information about lost dog behavior.
Mm-hmm. So your website, again, is missingpetpartnership.org.
Correct.
As a wonderful resource for people in the event that somebody does lose an animal. This is just a great resource. And if you are interested in helping, supporting in any way, whether it just be using your own dogs to lay scent, or if you want to actually learn how to train scent tracking dogs, or even take the MAR technician course, then get on that website and check that out. Thanks so much for being on the show today, Kat.
Thank you. And just one more thing, people can join Missing Pet Partnership. We have a membership page. That's one way you can donate and support our organization. Thank you so much.
Thank you. All right, you're listening to the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150 AM. We'll see you this time next week.